The 2019 Rugby World Cup, one of the world's biggest and most prestigious sporting events, is getting underway in Japan. It represents a massive soft power coup for the country. Not only has the elite tournament never been held there before, but it is also the first time that the Rugby World Cup has been hosted by an Asian nation. So what should we expect? Here's Monocle's Tokyo Bureau Chief, Fiona Wilson.
Well, I think you'll get some very enthusiastic support, that's for sure. I don't know if you were following the training match that Wales held in Kitakyushu, and 15,000 people turned up just for the training on a Monday morning. I think it was a big surprise to the team. They were absolutely thrilled. And, you know, the crowd sang the Welsh national anthem. I mean, it was quite a spectacle. And I think that's going to be replicated up and down the country. I mean, there's a lot of enthusiasm, very dedicated fans here. You know, rugby is, you know, it's a niche sport, but I think just the excitement that this is Asia's first Rugby World Cup and it's in Japan, you know, you really feel it. And, you know, you see it in the streets, even in Tokyo. Our street has got the banners up and you're seeing pictures of it everywhere at the moment.
And you mentioned that the tournament is taking place right across the country. Can you tell us about some of the host cities?
Yeah, so there are 12 venues, and what they've tried to do is really spread them up and down Japan so that the whole country gets a bit of the excitement. And there, you know, there are some very interesting ones like Kamaishi, which was a place that was really destroyed in the earthquake tsunami in 2011. That is one of the venues which is very exciting, I think, there. And I think, you know, that's quite an emotional venue because obviously, you know, being through very, very tough times. Actually, the final for the Rugby World Cup will be held in Yokohama. I think a lot of people were hoping that the new national stadium, which will be ready for the Olympics, would be ready for the Rugby World Cup, but it's not quite ready. So the final will be in Yokohama, which is, you know, an amazing stadium and absolutely enormous. So, you know, I think up and down Japan, there's going to be a lot of interest. And I think they've really tried to share it out so that the whole country is involved.
And this is going to be quite a different kind of cultural experience for people kind of going to Japan to follow rugby. What can people expect? What will they be in for?
Well, one of the things that made me smile was about tattooing, which became a huge issue. I mean, anyone who follows pretty much any sport now knows that most athletes are absolutely covered in tattoos these days. Tattoos are still a very tricky subject in Japan, and people don't like to see them in gyms. They don't want to see them in hot springs. If you have a tattoo in a swimming pool, for example, you have to cover it up, wear a vest. And the rugby players have been asked that when they're going to places like gyms or hot springs, please cover up. Obviously on the pitch, on the day, they will reveal their tattoos, but, you know, they just said when they're out and about, could they please kind of adhere to the cultural preferences in Japan. Although having said that, some onsen said for the 6 weeks of the tournament they're going to relax those rules, but just it's up to the owners of the hot springs to say whether they're going to allow people in or not.
That was Monocle's Tokyo Bureau Chief, Fiona Wilson. Let's hope she keeps her tattoos covered up over the course of the next 6 weeks. Now, the Rugby World Cup, of course, comes as Japan keeps one eye on next year's Olympic Games. Here's Sir David Warren, who was the UK's ambassador in Tokyo between 2008 and 2012.
I'm sure that it will be a trial run for the Olympics. This is the largest Japanese-hosted event since the Football World Cup many years ago, and that was shared with the Republic of Korea. So the Japanese will certainly see this nationwide World Cup tournament as an opportunity to demonstrate that they have the facilities, they have the organisation, they have the managerial ability to pull off one of the world's big iconic events. And they will have the Olympics of 2020 very much in mind as they demonstrate all those skills.
And do you think that both these events help put Japan onto the sporting map, not just on the managerial map, but the sporting map as well?
Well, of course, Japan has been on the sporting map before. They hosted the Olympics in 1964, and I mentioned the Football World Cup, which was in the early years of the last decade. So they've been on the international sporting map for some time, but the Rugby World Cup is important for two reasons. Firstly, they've been trying to get this World Cup for many years. This was the third attempt, I think, at which they'd sought to host the event, and they were finally successful. And rugby itself is a sport where the Japanese have grown in international profile over the last few decades, not least in the 2015 World Cup in the UK, when they beat South Africa in Brighton in that memorable match, and suddenly the world realised that the Japanese team, the modern Japanese team, were a force to be reckoned with.
Enormous pressure. A win would just be the upset of all upsets.
Of all time.
Of, in the history of sport.
And what do you think it does for Japan's brand on an international scale? What does it do for Shinzo Abe and his government?
Well, looking at it in a non-political sense, those of us who are friends of Japan and spent our lives living in Japan, visiting Japan, and who know the efficient organisation of Japanese life, we know also the warmth of the Japanese personality, we can see that this is going to be an opportunity for the Japanese to demonstrate what they call omotenashi, that is a sense of hospitality, a sense of welcoming people from around the world for a major international event. And all the signs are that this is going to be a very powerful theme of the tournament. It's a nationwide tournament, so that visitors to Japan, rugby supporters from all the various teams, will see the whole of the country. The first English match, I think, on this coming Saturday, will be up in Sapporo in the Northern Island, and there are stadia all over the country in all four islands, and indeed in the area affected by the terrible earthquake and tsunami 8 years ago. So it's an opportunity to send a very strong sense of the Japanese brand of warmth, of hospitality, of welcoming across the country to an international audience. From Shinzo Abe's point of view, it's also very important. He's been Prime Minister for nearly 7 years. He's still in a strong and pretty unassailable domestic political position. He doesn't have very strong political opposition. He doesn't have an obvious successor, although people are beginning to talk about one or two possible names. So he will see this as an opportunity to demonstrate that the country that he leads politically is a country that has a very strong and attractive international profile. But although politics and sport are a little mixed in Japan, as in many other countries, and there are senior politicians who've played an important role in developing Japan's rugby capacity, this is a sporting tournament, not a series of political events, and I think that Japanese will be sensitive to the need to keep those issues separate.
Sir David Warren, thanks for coming in. A lot, it seems, rests on the fortunes of Japan's Rugby World Cup. And with the Olympics just around the corner, the tournament's organisers and the country's leaders will be hoping that it's a resounding success. For Monocle 24, I'm Rhys James.